WEEI Studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. We're always live on the free Odyssey app.
So, you know, I got the chance to poll nearly two dozen people around the league and coaches, scouts, and execs. And these, you know, the feeling is things probably shook out like I thought. Not a lot of major surprises. J.J. McCarthy was really right there as like a fringe tier two, but kind of tier three guy. Like he's sort of number three and a half in the pecking order. A lot of teams I talk to, and I think New England, I believe, is probably in this boat that they have Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy in that order. So, which, you know, probably makes it pretty easy to telegraph the top. But, you know, we'll see. It's the draft, and there could always be wrinkles and smoke screens. But that's sort of the feeling around the league and probably how things will shake out. It just depends on where McCarthy goes. But, you know, Michael Penix and Bo Nix are two quarterbacks that are a preference. You know, like they're probably neck and neck for that fifth quarterback spot.
Jeremy Fowler of ESPN when he joined us on Wednesday afternoon here on Jones and Mego with Arkent on WEEI. Lot to get to today based on his quarterback rankings. Some of the latest news from around the NFL might be good news for the Patriots. Jeremy Fowler thinks the Pats have it. Caleb Williams, followed by Jaden Daniels, followed by Drake May and J.J. McCarthy. We can get into it. Coming up here with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. I'm going to start Arkan by saying this. I'm a little nervous about today.
Why?
Why is that?
We think Mego's going to make it through the show.
Well, it's a good point. I've done some of my best shows, I think, ever in my life, really hungover. So maybe this will be, you know, one of her calling card shows. That could be. It happens sometimes.
So, Mego, you're hungover?
Well, I didn't know we were going there.
Well, are you or are you not? Simple question.
I went to a friend's going away party from the Boston Herald last night, and I was overserved by myself.
We're blaming myself. The bartender.
No, myself.
Well, you said you were overserved.
Yes. It was the kind of night where at one point I knocked a glass of wine across the table all over someone's jacket.
And another thing.
And someone was like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I just feel bad for that person's jacket. And then as I was leaving with Mr. Who, he was like, someone spilled crap all over my jacket. And I was like, oh, I feel so much better. It's your jacket.
Oh, it was his jacket.
I have audio from last night.
I sh** my pants like crazy. I'm going after it all day, every day. Good people.
All right. I mean,
but I feel like this is putting up a bad perception of me. It's just rare that I come into studio in this form, to be honest. And someone DM'd me the other day because I like to take a little picture of like pretty drinks that I order at the bar because I'm a basic bitch. So I like posted this picture of a martini and some listener DM'd me and was like, you post your drinks a lot. I'm worried about you.
Oh, no.
And I was like, is this my image now? This is bad. This is terrible.
Yeah.
And this is not going to help today.
Yeah, booze face Mego here in on the show. No, I, you know, look.
Tequila-soaked floozy over here.
Yeah, I mean,
dude,
I just...
those ghost tequilas. I like a spicy tequila, and I liked it a lot last night.
I can't move on from drinking the way I used to. So if I go to a Celtics game on a Wednesday like I did a couple of weeks ago, it doesn't matter what I have. It doesn't matter if I have 100 beers or 5 beers. I'm going to be hungover. I can't handle it anymore.
What if you have like 100 ghost tequila sodas?
I would call out like Arkham if I had 100 ghost tequila sodas.
I sent a text message to a group of people saying, I'm sorry if I said anything awkward last night, and also you're welcome if I complimented you profusely. I don't know what happened.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, look, being a little hungover is, it's in the car. If I'm going to anything in the middle of the week, I'm probably hungover the next day.
The great thing is I'm doing TV tonight, so you get this both in audio and visual form.
Nice.
Because since I'm in my 30s, the hangover doesn't, like, stop at 4 p.m. anymore. The hangover probably rolls into tomorrow.
Yeah.
Be the first time anyone's ever done that show with sunglasses and, like, sweatpants on.
What seems to be the officer problem?
She's like Affleck walking out in front of her house, picking up dunks. So you're back on television last night. Did we see any television stars last night, Mego?
television stars last night?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess we're just putting this all out there. Tom Giles walked in, and I was like, hey, Giles, what's going on? Like, nice to see you. We're going to do TV together tomorrow. And he was like, yeah, yeah, good to see you. And then he sees Mr. Who behind me, and his eyes light up. And he's like, I haven't seen you for years. Goes over to him, like, wow. Acts like he's just seen, like, Brad Pitt walked into the room. And I'm just like, what is it with these sports broadcast guys and Mr. Who? They're, like, all over him.
Well, Arcand is a big fan of at least his muscles.
Yeah.
I don't know about all the other parts
of him, but
the muscles.
I'm a little jealous right now. Now I got to compete with a hunk like Giles, Tom Giles.
Giles is moving in. Okay, interesting.
DJ Bean once told me that he was one of his favorite people in the world. And I was like,
it seems like a bit much, if I'm being honest.
I need to keep these men away from my man.
So not only are you going to be hung over at TV, you're going to have, like, you got to settle this issue that's brewing with Giles.
It's going to be awkward.
Okay. All right. Well, it's a good little Friday here on Jones and Mega with Arcand. There's a lot of football news going on as well that we can get all of our reactions to, including hungover Mega here. The latest is that the Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels may not want to play there. And it's reflected in a couple of different things. I'll give you the items here, and then we'll get to our big question of the day, along with all your thoughts. The betting markets are all over the place now. And it used to be Jaden Daniels was a favorite to go number two. Drake May was a favorite to go number three in the draft. And Adam Schefter, you know, I think once he said, buy your Commanders jerseys. I don't want to tip any picks, but Daniels is going second to the Commanders. The betting markets followed
that. Good luck to your Commanders in the draft as well.
Okay. Right now, and I'm reading here from Pro Football Talk, Jaden Daniels and Drake May are pretty much even. They're both at minus 115 at DraftKings to go number two. This is earlier today. Maybe these numbers have been updated. At FanDuel, Daniels was minus 250. He's now minus 110, along with Drake May, who was plus 185. So the betting markets have shifted. And on top of that, there's speculation within the league. I'm reading from Florio that says Jaden Daniels may not want to play for the Commanders. Where have we heard that before? Haven't we talked about this before where Jaden Daniels is going to try to steer his way to New England? Where was that? I remember talking about that.
We talked about it last week at
Fenway. No, I know. Right. But who had the report is what I'm saying.
I'm sorry. I don't remember.
Mega's
blacked out. I'm not on top of it.
So when I can't remember either, but I remember talking about it and saying, man, this is a red flag if he wants to control his way to New England. What's wrong with him? And so there's speculation in league circles. Florio says that Daniels may not want to play for the Commanders. And if that's the case, would Washington still take him number two? Even before this morning, some were thinking the Commanders ultimately wouldn't take Daniels. Again, that's reflected in the betting markets. The team's options would be to trade out or take somebody else, blah, 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 blah. So what do we make of all of this? I'll say a year ago, in the week leading up to the draft, Will Levis was the favorite to go number two. Gross. Second, that's like the third time I've said that. Second, on the betting markets, Will Levis ended up being a second-round pick. So these betting markets aren't always predictive of what's going to happen.
Yeah, they're not indicative. It's just what is going around.
Okay. How about the reports in league circles that Daniels may not want to play there, which we've talked about in weeks past, and the Commanders may not want to take him? I mean, there's something to that.
Like, I know my immediate response to that is this is a terrible look for Jaden Daniels. Like, I don't know if other people feel this way, but as much as I like Jaden Daniels, I'm trying to hold him to the same standard that I did when I heard this about Caleb Williams, that maybe Caleb Williams, you know, wouldn't play for Chicago if he was selected there. That was months and months ago that we heard that. But I was kind of disgusted by that. And I just don't think it's a good look to be steering yourself away from the team that is trying to draft you. You're a great player. You're going to be highly drafted. You're going to a crappy team. And the other part, as you said, it's not like there's anything. Washington has better weapons. Like, they have better offensive weapons than New England does. And other than that, the two franchises are kind of the same right now in terms of where they're at with their rebuilds.
Yeah, I don't like the idea that Jaden Daniels would look at the Patriots and go, that's the spot for me. I don't want to go to Washington. I just don't like the idea he would control it. And you're the second or third best quarterback in your class. You're not John Elway. You're not Eli Manning. You're not maybe even Deion Sanders' kid, Shador, who's going to try to orchestrate this next year. Mm-hmm. And so just...
Well, we don't know where Shador is going to be next year in terms of the pecking order of quarterback.
No, but I'm just saying, yeah. I think, you know, having an influential father like Eli had is a little different. There's none of that going on with Jaden Daniels. So go where you're picked. And stop trying to orchestrate it. And, oh, by the way, if the Patriots are still good, I would get it, but they suck. They suck worse than Washington. They lost to Washington last year, and they have no weapons. Why would you want to go to New England? I didn't get that. It's a red flag. But here's our big question of the day. Less than a week away, draft rumors abound, as we just referenced. Do you worry Drake May going second to Washington would screw up the Patriots pick at number three? Are you worried about that, Arkin?
Not at all. I don't think it's going to screw up anything. I think that the Patriots are going to pick a quarterback at three. They're going to pick whoever falls to them, and that's basically been the plan this entire time, with a lot of posturing and sort of BSing about different names and trades and stuff like that. But really, I think all along, what you've been looking at here is a team that wants a quarterback, that thinks that there's three good ones, and is willing to talk themselves into whichever one falls to them at three. They're not trading up to two, so it's not like they love either one of them so much that they feel like they have to jump ahead and get the one they like because they don't want them to get picked out of that. They'll be okay with that. They'll be okay with Daniels. They'll be okay with May. I don't think that they're in love completely with either one of them enough so that they'd say, hey, if this guy falls to us, it's going to really screw us up. I think that they're fine. I voted no.
Okay. I think it does screw up their plan because I heard Fourier talking about this driving in. And I reject this. Now, I'm taking the quarterback no matter what. But Fourier said something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing, well, you know Caleb Williams is going number one to the Bears, and they're going to have their choice between these other quarterbacks, right? And if they're fine with 2, 3, and 4, then just take whoever falls to you, or you can move down and get that person. Why would I settle for they obviously have a priority. They may like all of them. They may. They might hate one. They might love the other two. They might only love one. I don't know. I'm okay with the top three quarterbacks. But why? And we all have them prioritized, and they obviously have them prioritized. Even if it's close, they like one, they prefer one to the other. Why would you settle for your fourth option if you have a chance to get your second option, right? So that would screw up my plan. You start talking yourself into how it's going to look. Washington's taking this guy. We're going to take that guy. I think some of the talk in league circles helps explain some of the reporting we've seen, how Elliott Wolf handled the press conference yesterday, and we reacted to that yesterday after the Red Sox game. We're open for business. We like all six quarterbacks, blah, blah, blah. I think that helps inform why they're handling it that way, because maybe they don't have as good of a read on Washington as they thought. Or maybe they think they know what they're doing, but just in case, they're covering all their bases. I voted yeah. It screws the Patriots up. If they want Drake May, even if they like Jaden Daniels, if they want Drake May and Washington takes him, that sucks, because now you're further down in your pecking order.
I agree with that. I also just, I'm worried, even though we're hearing this report that we just played from our show the other day, and we have heard the report from Schrager saying that New England likes both May and Daniels a lot. They're very in on both of them.
We haven't played that yet, but yes.
Well, we've also heard, I'm saying that report's out there. We'll get to it. But we've also heard so much about how Elliott Wolf likes J.J. McCarthy. And it feels like there's a lot of factions within the front office who like different guys. And there's still a little piece of me that's worried that if it's like seven guys are in on Drake May and two guys like J.J. McCarthy and everyone's kind of meh about Jaden Daniels, then if Drake May is off the board, they can talk themselves into, we'll trade down for McCarthy because then we'll also collect other draft capital. We're not going to draft McCarthy at three, but we can trade down and we can get extra with McCarthy because we all agree, like, we're kind of meh on Daniels and a couple of us are pretty strong on McCarthy. And I think that that's a terrible idea.
So you can vote in our big question of the day up now at Jones and Mego. I am concerned that Washington is going to screw up the Pats pick for him. Are you concerned about it, especially if Drake May goes second? Again, you can vote. You can also weigh in. 617-779-7937. Arkin, what Mego just referenced, are you concerned about that? Factions within the Patriots, almost too many cooks in the kitchen. You know, you hear about Van Pelt and McAdoo and maybe T.C. McCartney. Never mind Elliott Wolf. And what's Matt Groh's role? And where's Alonzo Highsmith? Robert Kraft, Jonathan Kraft, Robin Glazer. Are you worried about that, where the Patriots can't make a decision because everybody feels differently about a different quarterback?
Honestly, no. I think in a vacuum, I like the idea that there's a lot of different voices and that they're going in a lot of different directions and trying to take in all that information and opinions and all of that. I like that. I think that's a good thing. I think that's better than just having one guy rule it over with an iron fist and shut everybody else down and ignore all his scouts and pick N'Keal Harry every year. Like, you know, that I think was running its course. So I like that they're doing something different from that. But I don't like the fact that they don't have a GM. I don't like the fact that there's sort of this nebulous idea of who's making the actual final call that hasn't really been, you know, set in stone here. It's not really Elliot Wolf. I don't think anyone believes that. I think people more so believe it's the Kraft, but we don't know which Kraft. We don't know who's going to be witchcraft. We don't know who's going to be, you know, actually rubber stamping this. So I think that's the problem. Not that there's a lot of different people giving an opinion. I like that. I don't like the fact that there's no real ironclad decision maker.
I don't know. In a way, it just feels like it might be really messy behind the scenes. And that's been my concern with this setup since Belichick walked out the door. Like, I agree, it was obviously terrible for wide receivers, which Elliot Wolf kind of danced around the question yesterday. Why haven't they been able to draft wide receivers? Well, probably because Belichick came in at the end of the day and said, actually, I like N'Keal Harry. Like, just to throw out an obvious example. But I'm worried that it's just mess behind the scenes. That it's people rowing in different directions, not like they're arguing or anything, but they can't come to a consensus about what kind of quarterback they want. Because even though we sit here, Jones, and we say we both like Daniels and we both like Drake May, they are different kinds of quarterbacks, and you will build out different kinds of systems around them and utilize different skills with them. And so if they're sitting there going, well, we're okay with this guy and we're okay with that guy and we have all these different ideas, it's like at some point the collaboration, it might just be a bunch of stuff that people are throwing out there.
Yeah, so Ryan just said this in my ear, and I do think there's a happy medium, but let's say there's a bunch of voices and a bunch of cooks in the kitchen, and they're collaborating. I, by the way, am not concerned about that because, as I've told you, ownership is going to come in and make the pick. So I don't care what Elliot Wolf thinks. Never mind what T.C. McCartney or Matt Groh or Ben McAdoo thinks. They don't have a say. They can think whatever they want. They can have whatever opinion they want. Their opinion, their pick is irrelevant. Ownership is going to make this pick, is what I believe. And we'll see. But let's say it's full-on collaboration. What do you prefer? Somebody has to make a pick at the end of the day. Bill Belichick left everybody out. This is collaboration. Which do you prefer?
I you can't look at the past, I don't know, 10 years of drafts, 8 years of drafts, and say that you prefer the Bill Belichick way. Hey, it seemed to work great for a while there. Like, there was a sweet spot in the middle where it worked really excellently, so I don't want to take away from that. But we haven't seen this yet, so I can't sit here and say that I don't like it. I guess I prefer giving this a chance, obviously, than having Bill Belichick back here as GM running the draft. I don't think any of us want that, right?
I don't love the idea that it's a bunch of people doing it for the first time. I mean, I guess if it was up to me and you were talking about getting a bunch of different ideas and people in there, I'd like people with more experience doing it, but I prefer this to the, you know, one-size-fits-all guy.
There's plenty of stories out there now about how Elliot Wolf has essentially been doing this since he was, like, a teenager. He would go over and take the tags, the name tags for everybody and everything.
Yeah,
like,
right. What a child genius.
He basically was born in a draft room and grew up here.
Sure, but he hasn't been making the decision. You know what I mean? He hasn't been in charge of what he's
never
in charge
of now. He's never made one draft pick.
Right.
In his life, he's never made one real draft pick. Okay?
And he's not going to do this thing.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to. Not at number three. His first draft pick is going to be number 34. So, like, he's been involved in draft picks. He's never made a pick in his life. He, again, is Chaim Bloom. Like, people are like, oh, look at what the Rays do. Look at what the Rays did. Chaim Bloom made all those picks. You have no idea what Chaim Bloom was doing. He was an assistant to the GM. Elliot Wolf has never been a GM. He still isn't a GM. And I don't think he's making this pick. So is Washington going to screw up what the Pats want to do at three? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. Mego referenced a report from Pete Schrager, or at least some info that Peter Schrager from the NFL Network passed along on the McAfee show yesterday, I think, or was it today? I was on the McAfee show. Here's what he said about the Pats at number three.
I know in this mock you have Drake May going to the Patriots at three. I know Elliot Wolf of the Patriots has come out and kind of said, hey, we're open for business. What exactly do you think he means by that? And do you believe that they will stay locked in here at number three?
From what I've heard, the Patriots are very, very into both May and Daniels. So whatever Washington does at two, or if a team trades up for two, I think the Patriots quarterback at three. Now, look, Elliot Wolf, if you know he's Ron Wolf's his dad, one of the most legendary executives in NFL history. He's been around Packers, Browns. Now he's got this Patriots gig. It's a big shoes to fill, obviously, with who he's replacing and making those decisions.
Mac.
But I would think this is a quarterback position. You're not looking to be top five again. This is one of the rare drafts where there's three guys that everyone says is a number one quarterback, and maybe four with McCarthy that you could feel comfortable with. I would be very surprised if they got cute. I know they have a lot of holes to fill, but don't get cute. Take the quarterback here.
Okay. I mean, I like what I'm hearing from Peter Schrager. I like less some of the reporting around the NFL. And that would include, by the way, that Josh Harris the owner in Washington is supposedly very hands-on with this pick, which I think a lot of owners are. I think the Patriots ownership will be at number three. And so, look, if the owner's the one making the call, Adam Peters in Washington can do all the scouting he wants and break down all the tape he wants, and at the end of the day, the owner can change their mind and make a different pick. And so that's the one wild card for me with Washington. Schefter says they're locked in on Jaden Daniels. I'll tip my cap to Schefter and say he's plugged in. He knows what's going on. But if the owner changes his mind last second and flip-flops, what are the Patriots going to do? What's the pivot? Are you okay with Jaden Daniels at three? We've done a lot of assuming he's going second. Are you okay with him number three? 617-779-7937. I see you guys lining up. We'll get to you here. On our big question of the day at Jones and Mego, can Washington screw up the Patriots pick at number three? Arkin has all the latest here in trending. And when we come back, is A.J. Brown trying to force his way to the Pats? Let's get to that next.